Welcome you once again to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Emeritus Assembly of God, and we are so thankful that we get to spend a half hour with you today talking about the glorious truths from God's Word, that God wants to lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. There are certain ways that He's not going to lead us. He's not going to lead you into temptation. He's not going to lead you to destruction. He will always lead you in triumphal procession. And so we're going to be talking about that today. We've been sharing this time slot with you here, whether it's 8:30 of a morning or 5 o'clock of an evening on WMIE 91.5 FM. If you're listening at 10:30 of a morning, that's WWBC 1510 AM. We've been sharing this time slot for 5.5 years now, and we are certainly thankful for everything that God does through the radio program, and still reaching people's lives and touching people, and we're excited about that. And you know, it's been a lesson for me in how God leads. I tell people I'm a little spoiled in that I haven't had to apply for a job since 1980. I guess the last time I applied for a job was like 1987, something like that. Since pretty much that time after that, the opportunities have found me because God led me. Sometimes his leading looked like it was going to be through a very pleasant season. Sometimes he led through very difficult seasons. But looking in the rearview mirror now, I see that God was leading each and every step of the way, and I want to encourage you to allow Him to lead you as well. So that's what we're talking about. God's leading us here on the Refresh Radio program. Do want to encourage you to be praying for the Send event that is coming up this Saturday. Now, I will be there for much of that event. I'm not going to be able to be there for all of that, because my wife is coming back in town, and I am very excited about that. Her flight arrives on Saturday, and so we will not be able to be there for everything that takes place, but we're going to be there for a lot of it. We've canceled our Sunday night service this week to allow our people to go over, participate on Saturday, and then get rejuvenated and refreshed for the work week coming up. When I told one person what the hours of the event are, the Send event is 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And when I told them what that was, he said, "I will have nobody in church on Sunday morning." And I'm believing he's going to have more people than what they expect. If you are going to the event, I encourage you to prepare for a lot of intense parking situations. Be prepared for some traffic congestion and things like that. And do be very, very safe on the roads. If you're coming back to Brevard County on Sunday night, I encourage you to, or Saturday night, I encourage you to be very, very careful on the roads coming home. So with that being said, we want to take you in the Word of God today to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. This is a Psalm of David. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. It says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name, that I may daily perform my vows." And so I want to focus on verse number 2. Now, I'll be honest with you, whenever I read this psalm, I start thinking about a chorus that we sang 15 or 20, 25 years ago. that was written from this passage here. And so I get that chorus going through my head. But today I want to encourage you that God just does not lead you when things are easy. God leads you when things are more than you can handle. I ended yesterday's broadcast talking about the wisdom of the person who had experienced a tsunami, and how he had this particular grandfather at one point in time had watched a number of people get lured to their death because there was a tsunami on the way, which pulls a lot of the water away from the beach, and then it exposes all of these shells, and people ran out to get these shells, and before they had an opportunity to get to a place of refuge, the waters returned, and they ended up being overwhelmed by the situation. I want to share with you today that if you're going through an easy season, congratulations. We celebrate with you, but we want God to lead you during the easy seasons as well. And you know, there are seasons to life. There are going to be seasons where you feel like you're just bored beyond your capacity to endure boredom. And there are going to be other seasons where you feel like there's just not enough hours in the day or days in the week, and there's not enough of you to go around. And I've always had this philosophy: enjoy the season that you are in. Find the joy of that particular season. So this week, my wife she's out spending some time with her mother, and I'm not lamenting that. I'm rejoicing that she was able to go out there and spend time with her. We had one thing in mind, and logistically didn't happen. So instead of wringing our hands and fretting over plans that were not able to take place, we created alternative plans, and we're going to celebrate the season. You know, when we've been so many miles away from family that for much of our time in Florida, all of our vacations have been to go back and visit family. We wanted them to experience the grandkids as much as they could. So when we got 2 weeks of vacation a year, we would spend 1 week going and visiting her folks in Chicago. We would go 1 week and visit my folks in Oklahoma. And that was the way that we spent our vacations. And I was always the one, okay, let's hurry up and get there. Let's hurry up and get there. And so we'd have to stop at a rest area, and I'm sitting there looking at all of the cars that have passed me, and it's like we're losing ground, and this just means that we're going to be on the road longer. That's the way that I was. I was always in a hurry to get there. There are a lot of people that are in a hurry to get to the next stage of life. You know, if my kid would just get to this stage, life is going to be better. I want to encourage you today, with a little bit of wisdom that I've gleaned through the years, the next stage is probably not easier. It's just different. It's got some challenges on its own. And each of those stages, because there's a learning curve, because each of those stages is designed to bring us to the place of desperation where we want God to lead us, that we can get frustrated. We need to learn to enjoy that season. So I'm celebrating that my wife is getting to be with her mom, and here in a few weeks, you know, I'm going to get to love on my folks, and we're just going to enjoy the seasons that we have. Seasons come and seasons go. Make sure that you don't miss the joy of that particular season. And so there was, when we first came to Florida, we're getting close to our 30-year anniversary of being in Florida. And my wife was a stay-at-home mom, and she had been a church secretary before we moved here. And she, you know, we only had one vehicle when we got here, where we had had two before. And she's like, this season is just so, and I said, enjoy this season. And so she began to embrace it, and pretty soon a different season came, and she was working, and, a second child came along, and then a third child came along, and then she was, then she's been working, pretty much nonstop, since 2 or 3 years into our pastorate. And that she did, she embraced that season because of, we sensed that, well, my job came to an end, my store closed, and, we felt like God wanted us to focus more time on ministering in the church. And she said, I'm going to embrace this so that you can embrace what God has for you. And, it has worked out well. And in doing that, what we both gained out of that situation was a greater appreciation for what each other were going through. It's a true story. The first week that I was in charge of running things around the house with the kids and things like that, there were the challenges of doing laundry and doing dishes. And my wife had been putting up with that and doing it, the best she could for quite a while. And the first week that I did that, I went out and I bought a dishwasher. And I made sure that we had a washer and dryer so that we could do our laundry when it was convenient rather than having to go and take it to the laundromat. And she showed up home from work and said, oh, I see. Now you do that after I was doing all that other stuff before. Now you see how important it is. And as she was out in the workplace, she had some understanding of why I would be so tired when I came home. It was just a learning season. And if you're feeling overwhelmed today, I want you to hear what David said, and that is, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Don't let your circumstances lead you into depression. Let God lead you to a higher place, to a better perspective, to His view. Let Him lead you to a place where the storms of life are, you're not going to have to worry about the flood. Let Him lead you to that place of worship. Let Him lead you to that place where you learn of Him. And that was one of the things about David, is God always led him. I mean, consider his journey. He was left behind when the men went into battle, and yet God led him to the battlefield and led him to defeat Goliath. And God led him into the presence of the king because of the giftings that he had entrusted to David. But He just wasn't musically gifted. He was also gifted in a military understanding, and God led him to victory after victory that others thought were certainly going to bring defeat. And every time that David was in an unwinnable situation, God led him to a higher place, to a higher platform. I want to encourage you today, be faithful. Be faithful where you are. Be faithful in the little things, and you will find that God will constantly be leading you to a place. It might not be to a place of greater notoriety. I'm not in this for the fame. I'm not even in this for the voice recognition. I'm in this because one day I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the thing that I am. The Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. That doesn't mean that it's always going to remain small, but it doesn't mean that it's always going to be mega either. It doesn't mean it, you just be faithful where you are at. That person with 5 talents ended up with 10 talents. The person with 10 talents ended up with 21 talents. The important thing is, be faithful where you are. Be faithful in what God has called you to do, and don't be overwhelmed. When you are overwhelmed, let Him lead you to a higher place. Instead of focusing on the problem, you can focus on the one who's leading you. I was reading this situation, and a person said, you know, how do you respond to a person that says you are only qualified to lead a small church? Well, I don't know this particular individual, but I can tell you that I don't focus on what other people have said. I focus on what God has said. And when, it would have been the summer of 1984. I was sent to a week of discipleship camp so that I could hear from God. And I can still remember that season. I was there, and the things that were on my mind were, God, is the ministry always going to be this hard? And God said no. And I was like, thank you. I'm so glad. He said, it'll get harder. And that wasn't the answer that I was expecting. And I thought that was all that I was going to hear in that season of prayer, except for it wasn't. As I was journeying from the place out in the middle of the softball field in Illinois back to the I don't remember what they're called, their camp. It was a summer camp was what it was. And back to the, I'd want to call it a bunkhouse. That's not the right term, but I was headed back to the room where, you know, I was staying, and God said, you see that piece of trash? And the camp had been used for 5 weeks of kids camp and youth camp. And he said, you see that piece of garbage there? And I said, yes. And he said, pick it up. And so I did. And I came up on another and another and another, and I kept picking up all of this. And I realized that there was more to be picked up than what I had the capacity for. And so I took my shirt and I created a little carrying device, and I ended up with a whole shirt full of trash. And God spoke to me, and he said, I'm calling you in your ministry to pick up things that others have deemed worthless, and I want you to restore value to them. And so for me, it is not about the size of the church. It's about restoring value. And it's not just about churches. It's about people. Some of the jobs I've had, I was told by bosses that, I was like number 50 on the list, but nobody else wanted it. And it's like, that doesn't matter. You see, God's the one that's leading me. And if you understand what God has called you to do, you will not allow your hardships and your challenges to sidetrack you. You see, I believe that vision from God, that when He gives you that higher ground, when He leads you to that place that's higher than your problem, that he's going to give you a vision, and that vision is going to be a restraining force that prevents you from getting sidetracked with a bunch of other things. And in that restraint, there's going to be freedom to be all that God has called you to be. Listen, the devil does not want you to pursue God's plan for your life. The devil wants you thinking that God's left you out there to fight the battle on your own, which he has not. The devil believes that he can get you depressed and discouraged and get you to throw in the towel. But if we who know our God will listen to him, we will find that he's going to lead us to an even more glorious place. So don't get frustrated today. Let me take you to to one more. Psalm 70. Let's see. Where do we want to go here? I guess we'll go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73 is an interesting psalm because in that one, the psalmist is very much overwhelmed. The psalmist is very much overwhelmed. Verse number one says this: "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And if knowledge in the Most High, behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning." Doesn't that sound pitiful? He looks at the prosperity of the wicked. He looks at how hard the people who are living for God are having it. And here Asaph thinks that it's all been in vain. Verse number 15, "If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein." Do you see that Asaph right here is doing exactly what David did in Psalm 61? He says, I understood the situation, but it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. You and I, we cannot be led by God sufficiently if all we will do is look at the superficialities around us. What does the bank account look like? What does the doctor's report look like? What does the house look like? What's the car look like? If that's all that we are fixated on, we're not going to see that the worship that we offer to God is worth as much as the other things that people have. People are, there are a lot of people who are entrapped by the things of this world that chokes out the very life of God. And Asaph writes a psalm anointed by the Holy Spirit about this. And he said, it was too painful to me until God brought me understanding as to what the end of the matter is. So one of the things that takes place for me is whenever I'm in a discussion, I want to ask this question: what does the result look like? If we take this situation to the very end, what does that look like? So there are a lot of things that are permitted by our society that when I study them in the light of God's word, the end looks like destruction. So I don't want to be on that path. All of this got started with "lead us not into temptation." So let's bring it back to this. I look at temptation. Well, what does the end of that temptation look like? I knew a person that this was a long time ago in a different state. Knew a person that thought that they had figured out a way that they could deprive people of their money to the tune of a couple of $100s. Well, what did the end of that situation looked like the end of that situation was. He lost his job where he made that amount of money every week. He was arrested. He had a criminal record. That end did not look good. So I didn't want to have anything to do with that, no matter, you know. So what I did was I was working on commission, and I prayed and said, God, would you send a customer my way? And you know what? In one week, God caused such an abundance of sales to take place that it brought financial blessing to my life. I was like, thank the Lord. And so what does the end look like? If you're struggling with temptation, I want you to take a look at the situation and say, God, help me to understand what the end is. What does it look like 1,000 years from now? If he's going to lead us forever, if he's going to lead us to eternity, if he's going to lead us to the presence, God, is this temptation going to lead me to you, or is it going to lead me away from you? And when all of a sudden you begin to analyze the results instead of the enticements, you're going to find that temptation really isn't as alluring as what the devil would like it to be. So God's not going to lead you into temptation. He's going to lead you to a place that even if your heart is overwhelmed, he's going to be more secure than what the rock is. What does it look like? Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakens. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. Today, I want you to trust God to lead you into his presence. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Just take my breath.